Passage today, we're reading Psalm 33, and we're going to be reading the first 12 verses. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance.
Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for your invitation here. It's good to see you all from 4,000 kilometres away. Now, I know that over the last few weeks, you guys have been looking at negative emotions. But I wonder, in looking at those emotions, did anyone mention shouting? You know, raising your voice, letting it all out with high energy and loud volume? Anyone mention that? Probably not. Now, I reckon most people probably think that shouting is normally associated with negative emotions, like when you're scared or in pain, when you're angry, when you're annoyed. These are times when we often shout. As a method of expressing strong negative emotions, shouting can sometimes be unhelpful or counterproductive in relationships. And if we're honest, perhaps there are times when you've started shouting when on further reflection, you realize, oh, perhaps I shouldn't have done that. Shouting sometimes doesn't work well. Now, I'd also say that if you find yourself always shouting at others on a regular basis, then perhaps you need to think about why. But we also need to acknowledge that shouting can be used to express positive emotions as well. Things like joy or surprise, or as a form of encouragement or in celebration. In fact, shouting often appears in the Bible as something that God wants us to engage in. Have a look at Psalm 33, verse 1, as a case in point. The psalmist actually tells us to shout. He says, "Shout, O righteous, about Yahweh. Praise befits the upright." Now, we probably don't come across shouting much in church, right? But the psalmist is telling us here that shouting in celebration of who God is totally appropriate as a form of praising God. If we can shout in celebration when our team wins the grand final, then how much more appropriate is it for us to shout in acclamation of Yahweh, the faithful Saviour God, who has revealed himself in Jesus? But in what particular way should we shout? Well, according to verses 2 and 3, this is where music can really help God's people. I guess there's a place for individual shouts, but really what seems to be in view in this psalm is shouting in the context of singing. And perhaps we can say singing with gusto. United in harmonious shouting with full musical accompaniment, this is a fitting way by which to praise our awesome God. So verse 2 encourages us to get out our musical instruments and to use them in giving thanks to God and making music in acclamation. Now you can see that verse 2 mentions the lyre and the 10-stringed lute. Well, perhaps we don't have those particular musical instruments around, But we can always use our six-stringed guitars and our pianos and violins and clarinets to praise him. You get the impression from the psalmist that simple human voices aren't enough to praise God with. We need musical accompaniment to increase the volume and to create a sense of harmony and beauty. In verse 3, we're called upon to sing new songs to God. You can see that there's a place for creativity here. When it comes to praising God, we shouldn't just be stuck singing the same old songs over and over and over again. Obviously, there's a place for old songs, but God is also a God of creativity and variety. So we always need new songs too, by which we can praise God in a way that is fitting. So those of you who are budding songwriters, how about writing new songs of praise to our God? And for those of you who have ability with musical instruments, have a look at the end of verse 3. God wants you to play well, that is, to play skillfully, accompanied by the harmonious shouts of God's people. So when it comes time for the music ministry of our church to start up again, you musos, think about how you can develop your skill to be able to play skillfully in praise of God. So according to the first three verses of this psalm, we need to be noisy in our praise of God. It's almost like every Sunday a big noise should be emanating from our church, echoing across the hills and valleys of Horsley Park, inviting people to join in with us singing praises to God. But why? Why should we be shouting and making music to God? Well, this psalm also gives us a number of reasons as to why we should be doing this. And we see these in verses 4 through to 12. And basically the answer is we should be shouting and making music to God because God is a just, kind, powerful, and awesome God who speaks rightly and acts faithfully. Let's have a look at these reasons to shout in more detail. In verse 4, we're reminded that God is a God who speaks and acts. When he speaks, his word is right. There's no sense of crookedness or deception when it comes to what God says. He always speaks the truth. And he acts in accordance with what he has spoken. That is why the psalmist says all his works are done faithfully. God acts in accordance with what he has promised to do. He keeps his word. Verse 5 gives us insight into God's character. He is a God who loves righteousness and justice. He always acts in a way that is right and fair in accordance with his obligations as our creator and redeemer. God is also kind. Indeed, it says his kindness fills the earth. God loves doing good things for his people. He loves showering us with blessings. And even on those who reject him, God still provides enough rain and food for life on this planet to continue. Verse 6 reflects on God's power of creation when he made the world. It says, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their content. Now, one of the things that we've noticed up here in Darwin is you see a lot more stars in the sky than you do in Sydney. Go anywhere where there's less light pollution. When you look up into the sky, what do you see? You see thousands upon thousands of stars twinkling away in the icy realms of space. The vastness of space populated by literally a trillion trillion stars and trillions of galaxies. And all of this was brought into being by the word of God. God said, let there be. And it was. Think about all of the forces of energy at work in this universe. Then realize the power of God's word eclipses all of that. If the raw data of the universe is incalculable to the scientists, then the word of God that created this universe is basically unimaginable in the extent of its power. Verse 7 also invites us to think about how God controls the seas and the water cycle here on planet Earth. When creating the world, God set boundaries for the sea and he made the dry land appear. And in order for it to rain, it requires taking water from the oceans and storing that water in the heavenly storehouses in the form of cloud. Now, for those of you who have ever gone on a plane before, it's amazing, isn't it, when flying and you look down from the plane, what do you see? You see not just the surface of the ground below you, but if you're high enough, you also see the clouds from above. It really is an amazing sight. But to think that all of those clouds are made out of tiny droplets of water and ice, it's pretty cool when you think about it. All of those droplets of water just waiting to fall back to earth in the form of rain or hail or snow if cold enough. So the water cycle, it speaks to the power and wisdom of our God. In the light of such things, it's little wonder that the psalmist calls upon all the inhabitants of the earth in verse 8 to fear God and to be in awe of him. Because really, God is totally awesome. You remember what happened back at the time of creation? God said, and it was. God commanded that the world be built, and it happened. Just think about the beauty and creativity that we see in the natural world around us. Think about the size of the earth, which is massive, but also infinitesimal in the scale of the universe. Then think about how big and powerful God must be to be the creator of all of this. And he didn't create an army of builders to build his creation, no. He simply spoke everything into existence. That is the power of his word. And it's amazing to think about. In fact, it's totally awesome. No wonder the nations in opposition to him can't win. Those who would oppose God can have the best thought out plans and schemes, but human wisdom is nothing in comparison to the wisdom of the God who made this universe. God will make sure that the plans of the nations will be frustrated, but the Lord's counsel and plans, the Lord's wisdom, that will stand for eternity. So friends, that's why it's important for us to have Yahweh, the Lord, as our God. Verse 12 tells us that if we have Yahweh, the Lord, as our God, then we are truly blessed. So, all in all, what is this part of Psalm 33 telling us? Well, the verses that we've looked at today, they function to remind us, basically, of God's character. They tell us that the God who made this universe is a just, kind, powerful, and awesome God who speaks rightly and acts faithfully. And because of who God is and because of his word and his deeds, the appropriate response is for us to get out the musical instruments, to increase the volume, and to shout in acclamation of our amazing and awesome God. So friends, basically, in the light of the passage that we've looked at today, let the music and the shouting begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that over the last few weeks we've had the opportunity to look at neglected emotions, some of those negative, and how we can deal with them as human beings in a crazy world at times. But we thank you that today we've been able to refocus ourselves back on you and your character in particular. Lord God, we thank you that you are a just God. We thank you that you are a kind God. We thank you that you are powerful and awesome, and that when you speak rightly, and when you act faithfully. Lord God, in the midst of the chaos and the confusion of this world, it's easy for us at times to become emotionally unbalanced. But in the end, no matter what's happening around us, we know, Lord God, as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus, that we need to refocus ourselves on a regular basis back on you and your character. And as we do so, the appropriate response is basically to start singing, to start shouting, to start praising. So, Lord God, we pray that in the midst of the difficulties of this life, these ups and downs emotionally, whatever it may be, that you would help us always to remember your character and in response to shout, to praise you, to give thanks, because you are truly an amazing and awesome God. We thank you for this reminder today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now it is time for Q&A. So if question on the tablet is, do you think when we sing at church, we are too subdued then? Like, should we be more expressive? That's a good one.
Probably. Like, I do remember my time at HPCC. You know, it's only been 6 months or so ago that I haven't been there. But there have been a few times when, say, maybe something was happening, so I went down the back to grab their clicker or whatever it may be, and just observing. And I could probably say, maybe for some people, you know, singing isn't what they're into. But, you know, whether you're verbally singing or at least in your hearts, I think there needs to be a bit of gusto, doesn't there, really? Like, if it probably depends on the song and what the topic of it is and all of that. But if in the end we're praising God, then that should be a strong emotion. If it's not hitting you, there's something wrong, really. So how we express that, sure, there's difference of personality for certain people, say, but I think overall, and one of the things I must admit, like, because I used to sit down the front most of the time, but often I'd hear this noise, you know, this song, people singing, coming from the back, and it was really encouraging at times to hear that. So I think if a church is, if you walk into a church, say it's a church you don't know, you walk in there and the singing's like almost non-existent or whatever, it's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Yeah. So I think we should be doing our best to sing in praise of God. It's just like the musicians, the psalmist calls upon them to play skillfully. So the same thing for us. We're not professional singers, say, in the congregation, but, you know, give it all that we can, really. Within reason, sure, we don't want to probably shout over the top and whatever, but I think a bit of gusto, a bit of feeling, yeah, is appropriate.
Yep.
What do you think, John?
Well, I was actually going to ask you a further question. what do you think about, like, other expressions of joy, I guess? So, you know, some churches will, like, raise their hands. I know, like, to be honest, like, sometimes in church, I wanted to raise my hands, but I've, like, stopped myself. Probably, and that's my own issue, right? Like, I'm just thinking about what other people think about me.
Yeah, I think there's no law, is there, in our church that you can't raise your
hands? Yeah, definitely not. Please raise your hands if you would like to.
So I think there needs to be a space for individual expression. It's a little bit like this psalm, I think. You know, we're all called upon to shout, but the idea seems to be overall, as long as it's kind of harmonious shouting, you know, it could end up everyone's just shouting, and it ends up being, like, totally disorderly. I don't think that's the idea of the psalm here. The idea is that we shout in the end harmoniously and as almost like one voice together in praise to God. That's not to say that there can be on the edges space for individual variation, like a hand raised here or there, or maybe even a little twist, or I even notice some people swaying to the music as well. That's individual variation, isn't it? So that's fine. But in the end, we really want to be focused on God, don't we? And so our focus needs to be on Him and our praise directed towards him. So anything that would take away from that, we do have to be a little bit careful about that. So I guess if in the middle of the service someone just started spinning around, you know, dancing down the aisle or whatever, that would probably take people's attention away from God, perhaps. I suggest it probably would. So anything within reason that still maintains the focus on God, I think, is appropriate.
Next question. Is it wrong for us to sing songs which has been written by songwriters who follow false teachers and the prosperity of gospel?
I think it probably depends on the content of the song and what it's actually saying, first of all. I think that's the main issue to look at. If the content of the song is okay, like, sure, it might be coming from a certain slant, but often the false teachers, they will be capturing some element of truth in the Bible, and often it might be true, but the problem is if they're just emphasizing that particular thing, you know, the whole system of theology that they teach becomes unbalanced. So I think there can be songs that have been produced by, say, for example, churches that we might not say we follow everything that they stand for, but the music and the words of the song can seem to be okay. I think that's the first thing to think about. The second thing would be we do have to be a little bit careful if we know people within our congregation know something about the origin of that song or that church or that person, and if seeing that would then cause a problem to that person's conscience, then we should also be a little bit aware of that as well. Particularly if they raise issues, you know, then to use that song later on down the track might make it difficult for them to be able to praise God at that point. So just to be a little bit careful about that as well.
Okay. Thank you for that.
That's all right.
There doesn't seem to be any other questions, so you seem to be off the hook pretty easy this
That's
week.
Right. But next time you guys meet in person, right? I'm going to be here 4,000 kilometres away, and I'll be listening out for the noise emanating from Horsley Park. So have a good time.
Yes, definitely.